At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com. Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
Well, this sucks.
All right, guys, welcome to another episode of the Focus Hunting Podcast. The Focus Hunting Podcast is part of the Waypoint Outdoor Collective. For more information on Waypoint, make sure you head on over to waypointtv.com. Okay, for this show, I'm doing a solo cast. So being middle of November, mule deer is closed in some areas. Some areas it's still open. Last year, I got a late season mule deer. So I figured I'd just I'd talk about that a little bit. Hopefully you guys can take a few things away from it, what I did right, what I did wrong. I'm not saying I'm the king of all mule deer hunters, but last year worked out. I got my biggest muley to date, so I just figured I'd share that with you, and if you guys can take anything away from it, that's great. If not, there's lots of good other podcasts out there that you guys can listen to that I'm sure you can find something that you'll take away from it. So, one thing that I've learned about mule deer hunting, other than the fact that, they're my favorite critter to chase, is that they're a pretty unpredictable and sly animal. I think that's, one of the biggest things I love about them. One thing here I want to mention is that the stuff I'm sharing with you guys is stuff that's worked for me in the past. It worked on last year's hunt. It's worked on previous hunts. And it's worked for me in areas where I hunt, and obviously the topography and everything else, weather patterns are a little different in an area that you guys are hunting. So this stuff worked for me in my area. So, don't hold a gun to my head on this. Hopefully it works for you. The thing I found about targeting big mule deer bucks is that unless you're hunting the rut, the weather's going to play a huge role in and where you locate these bucks. You probably heard people talk about summer ranges, winter ranges. You're mostly going to find like the bigger boys in the summertime, they're going to be up high for as long as they can. They'll just be up there gorging on as much food as they can up there. They can, stay safe from predators and stuff. There's less going on up there. It's not really until they catch, scent of a doe heating up. As the temperature starts to drop, you're going to start to see that. But also as the temperature does drop, you're more likely to find some of these smaller deer moving down. They'll cycle down, where it's a little bit warmer, and there's often they're going to find the feeds easier to get to. So, when you're planning a trip, the weather's going to play a huge role on where you're going to find those 4-point deer or bigger. So if you're planning a hunt, say, the middle of October, you should try to focus your efforts a little higher if you can. Again, where you're hunting is going to have a huge, huge impact on that. And, Canada here, especially the middle of October. One thing I try to watch out for that is, sometimes we get an early cold snap and we'll get a big drift of snow. You can find those bigger bucks have moved down a bit, but you just got to be careful that if it warms up, they might head up to those southern facing slopes where they're going to find more food, and they just like it up higher. I think they feel safer up there. So now if you're hunting the rut, early to mid November, the weather's not really going to make any difference. They're going to be horned up chasing those does, and I don't really think they give a shit about weather. Now later on, you know, around end of November, early December, there's a good chance you're going to find those bucks low. In my experience, in the late season, you know, they're going to be low and bagged out. So the thing I like about when it's colder is that the deer are fidgety. They aren't going to be taking those long periods where they just lay down and stay down for hours on end. They're going to be up and down constantly. So locating them, if you're patient, should be easier than, say, in the hotter temperatures when they'll be moving around mostly at night. So, yeah, you know, so for last year's late season mule deer trip, I took, I planned for 3 days, 3 to 5 days. I planned to go hunting in an area where, you know, I knew there was some big bucks in there. You know, I had seen them in there previously. So it's not an area I was super familiar with, but like I said, I knew they were in there, and I talked to other people that have seen big bucks in there. So I knew they were in there, so I figured I'd try that area. But maybe before I go into detail on how that hunt went, maybe I'll go over some of the other details of that trip. You know, because the snow levels were so low, I just stayed in the back of my truck. I've got a Ford F-350 pickup with a canopy on it. So I just threw a foam pad in the back of that, and I used my Rockwater Design sleeping bag, which is, you know, it's rated for minus 45, so it was more than warm enough. I think it got down to like minus 10 at night, so, you know, it was cold, but it wasn't that bad. I mean, you know, I've slept in minus 22 in a wall tent, so this is nothing like that. So I also have one of those little portable stand-up propane heaters. It's good, keeps the frost off well. You know, one of those little Mr. heaters that they just take those small green propane bottles. Yeah, that was good. I stayed plenty cozy in there. And, you know, for food, I just packed a cooler full of food, meals that I could, you know, just make up there, stuff that was super easy. I don't eat a lot when I'm hunting, so food's not a huge issue. Not as much as water anyway. You know, one thing about hunting the late season is you have a lot less daylight. So what I like to do is I'll download some movies to my phone, or some podcasts or ebooks. I'll bring a book with me. Yeah, just stuff to keep you occupied. So for meals, I made pack meals. You know, the night before I was heading up, just use my jet broil on the tailgate. Boiled some water, you know, first thing in the morning too. I boil some water for coffee, instant blacks, the way I go. Then I'll just take that water, and I'll fill my water bottle up with hot water in the morning, and put it in my the large pocket of my jacket. I'll also try to fill up a little thermos I have in my pack. Water stays pretty hot in that thing actually for, man, up to like 12 hours, so it's just good to have. So I like to have hot water. Well, I have the hot water in my water bottle just so I'm not packing around an ice cube after 4 hours. Plus, it keeps me a little warm until I get moving. So I run cold naturally, so that helps. Yeah, it's also nice to have hot water up there. If you know, when you're doing those long sits, you can whip up a coffee or some hot chocolate or something. It's always nice. And for gear, you know, I typically run... this year anyway, I run the Loa boot. But for when I'm winter hunting, I use a pair of those Baffin soft shell boots. Those things they're bulletproof. They're completely waterproof, and they're good up to like minus 20. And they're a size bigger, which I like to go in with my winter boots. It just helps keep my feet warm. I run like merino socks underneath, and then throw a pair of thicker wool socks. Keep my feet warm. I've always had a problem with my feet whenever I it's good if I'm walking around, hiking around, but once I sit down for any length of time, I start glassing, my feet tend to get a little cold. So I find as long as I'm running these, they're pretty good. So I also like to keep a pair of crampons in my backpack. If you guys don't know what those are those rubber cleated slip-on, they go over top your boots. It's great to have a set of those. They got little spikes on them. They're really good if you're trekking on slippery ice and snow. I use the Yada Life ones. They're pretty good, man. They have little bungee that goes over top of your feet so they don't fall off like those cheaper ones. So And for base layers, I just use a set of thick synthetic base layers. Yeah, the only thing that is kind of a bummer about thicker base layers, when you are moving around and if you're trekking through unbroken snow, it's pretty tough, so the chance of sweating is a little greater, but you just got to be smart with your base layer systems. If you guys are familiar with John Barklow, if you're not, make sure you head over to his webpage. He's got tons of good information on proper laying systems, and he's been on my show. You guys know how to reach him, but just look in the show notes of this podcast, and I'll put a link in there that just clicks you into how to access all his stuff. He works for Sitka Gear, which is, you know, in my opinion, the best gear. That's what I use, and use it for years, and I love it. So that's what I roll with. I use the Timberland pant mostly in the wintertime. You know, they're just so durable, and they're really quiet when you're moving, and you know, they keep you plenty warm in the, not very good in the September months or early bear hunting. You'd have to downgrade to something a little lighter. You know, for this time of year, they're great. And then I just run a Stratus jacket. It's got that winter camo that Sitka has. It's, you know, I'm not much of a camo guy. I prefer the solids, but you know, this thing works, and it keeps me warm and keeps the wind off my back. So I also always carry the thicker incinerator jacket in my backpack. I just have it in there, so basically when I get to where I'm going to be, I throw that on, and it's waterproof and it's plenty warm, so it works good for those long sits. So yeah, last year I was running the Eberstock Transformer pack. I switched this year to the Mystery Ranch pack. Both great packs. Obviously, like anything, they have their pros and cons. You know, the Eberstock pack, you know, it's quiet, it's nice, it's durable as hell. It's a little heavier, and it's not waterproof, so like the Mystery Ranch pack. So again, they have their pros and cons, but both great packs. Can't say anything really bad about either of them. So and for headgear, I just you know, I rock a hat with a toque over top. I don't like wearing just a toque. I like the hat, the ball cap hat. It just keeps the snow and everything else off my face. So gaiters is a must always. I typically wear gaiters for most of the hunts, maybe not as much in September. I think the early season I don't wear them. Just, I mean, it's so dry and hot, you don't really need them. So in the winter time and the fall, early spring too, they're a must for me. I run the Storm Castle by Peaks. You guys head over on to peaksequipment.com. You can find lots of stuff they have on there, and you know, I can't really say anything bad about anything they got. I use their trekking poles, their gaiters. It's pretty much top notch stuff. Again, I'll leave a link on that up in the show notes here as well, so you guys can just click on that and check them out. For last year, I was running for optics. I was running the Razor 10x42 HD binos. Those are great binos, super light. This year I went with the UHD binos, but I don't know. I don't know if the clarity of the UHD outweighs the size and the weight compared to the HD. I mean, yeah, the UHD are they're a little clearer. They let in a little bit more light, but I don't know. They're a lot bigger. And they're definitely heavier than those nice compact 10x42. So, that's a coin toss. I mean, obviously the UHD are going to be more money. So, I don't know. I think if I had to go buy one set, I think I would go with just the 10x42 HD binos. Yeah, I think so. That's, you know, they're just for the price, and those are great binos. And yeah, again, those ones are just so small and compact, and man, they're really nice. Ranger 4000 rangefinder, that's always strapped to my harness, my FHF harness. Ran that this year, don't really have anything bad to say about that thing. Yeah, this was last year was my first year with that 4000 rangefinder thing. If you guys haven't had a chance to check that out, you should check it out. It's pretty sick. You could just go over to Vortex Canada, check out their website, Google that, or go to vortexcanada.net, I think it is. Check them out. It's pretty slick. Again, you know, the razor glass from the Vortex, it's comparable with Swarovski. So I know a lot of guys are going to argue with me saying Swarovski's ice is better. I mean, I don't know. Those are, I'm not going to say they're not. Again, it just comes down to, I think, money. Warranty is a big one. And I mean, you know, once you get to the higher end of optics, I mean, my friends have Swarovski and we do Pepsi Challenge tests on both of them. And I don't know, man, very little difference between, you know, the top end binoculars, whatever, or optics than that. In any case, you know, what you decide to go with, I think it's fine. Yeah, but for me, you know, the Vortex, their VIP warranty, is something to be argued with. Yeah, but again, I know a lot of guys are saying they're just selling a warranty. Anyway, we can go down and talk about this shit forever. So anyway, for this hunt, last year I took my my Savage High Country 308. Last year was the first year I used that gun. Again, that's a pretty slick gun. It killed a lot of animals for me last year. It's a little bit on the heavier side. It comes in with that Vortex razor scope, I think around 4.5 pounds it is. So it's a bit heavy, but you know, when it comes to shooting it, it's a complete Cadillac. And it looks super cool. It's got a synthetic stock and strata camo pattern. It's got a burnt copper finish with a spiral fluted barrel. So, I mean, yeah, it's pretty neat. I mounted the Vortex Razor 3x5 BDC on it. Again, if you're not familiar with that, just head on over to vortexcanada.net and you can check out all the stuff they got going on there. Yeah, I shoot the Federal Premium rounds, the 168 grain. I really like that size. 168 grain bullets, just a good all-around bullet. So I just run that, and I kind of just... Once I find something I like, I kind of stick with it. So I try not to deviate even from, you know, manufacturers. I don't know. I just always like to run the same bullet, same grain, same make in all my guns. So I always throw a piece of yellow electrical tape over my guns, and especially when it's late fall when it could be raining or snowing. I don't know why yellow. It's just one of those superstitions I have. I got a lot of them. I don't know about you guys, but anyway, back to the hunt. I think it was late afternoon when I got up there, and my plan was to just wait for the morning and start looking for fresh buck tracks. You know, another thing is I'm not a fan of full moons. I know a lot of guys would argue with me, but I've always found that on a full moon, and if it's clear, the animals are... It just seemed to me to be a little bit more active at night and less during the day. So I try to plan my trip when it's not a full moon. And I don't really like going out like trucking through the bush when it's super dark. I always just paranoid about bumping something. So yeah, and then, you know, once I find some fresh tracks, I kind of just work those tracks moving slowly and glassing. You know, I'll walk 30 yards, glass. Then walk another 30 yards glass, really take my time. And, you know, kind of what I'm looking for when I'm glassing is a set of antlers that might be sitting up in a tree or a bush. So you got to really do your diligence and really scan those areas good. I mean, you know, in the past I've spooked, you know, numbers and great big deer that, you know, just being too fast and aggressive and, you know, come up on them and they get up and run away and, you know, they vanish and you never see them again. So, you know, I like to take it nice and slow and, you know, let my eyes do most of the work. You know, if there's a bit of wind to hide your sound, I'll really use that to my advantage. You know, move slow, try to stay out of the loud snow if possible. I know that it's really an option, but if you have a bit of wind cover, and again, you got to be smart. You got to play the wind. So you want to be walking into the wind. You don't want to be walking with your wind to the back or to your back. So, but anyway, you know, I find the wind really helps cover my sound. So then, you know, if you're playing the wind right and you do see them, you can kind of make a plan on them. So, you know, I just work along more moving slow and glass, you know, the way along, and I kind of, you know, look for fresh tracks because, you know, like we're talking about, those deers in the colder weather, they're not going to be laying down, at least I found anywhere. They're not going to be laying down. They're going to be, you know, up constantly on the move. So, you know, the first day of that hunt, you know, I did get on a set of tracks, I remember. I followed them slowly all day. Didn't catch up to the deer in his tracks, but I knew he was around somewhere. So, you know, as the daylight faded, I just started to head back to my camp. Next morning, I left a little bit earlier, still light enough I could see. I remember it was right around, you know, it was after legal shooting light, but, you know, it was still dark enough, but light enough where I didn't need a headlamp. So, yeah, again, I just don't like trucking through the bush, especially with the light on. You can see that for miles. And if you're targeting one deer, you know, the chance of coming across him, are good. Or even the chance of coming across other deer and bumping them and them spooking the deer you're after. So I like to wait until it's light enough. And then again, you know, just work my way slowly. And on that second day, I headed right back to the spot where I stopped the night before, which is along a tree long at the bottom of a slope and with some tall grass exposed in the steeper sections of the slope. So I posted up a little higher. I remember it was a nice day that day. No wind, but, you know, you could feel the thermals working the way up. So, you know, I was fairly confident a deer would come out to feed on that grass, especially with the sun shining. So I think I was there for, I don't know, maybe 2 hours. And sure enough, I heard something just inside the tree line. So I chambered around and got set and waited. And I'd say, man, it was about 15 or 20 minutes, and, you know, a nice, really nice 4-point stepped out, and I took one look at him, and blammo, he kicked and ran, man, 30 yards inside that tree line where I could see him. So I just kept my scope on him. I could see him in the thick trees. You know, I couldn't tell by how thick the trees were if he had sat or if he fell down. So I waited a bit. I went back. Actually, I think I went back to my camp and emptied out my pack and headed back. And, you know, this gave him a bit of time to die. So, and then when I came back and, you know, I circled him. So, you know, if he was going to get up again, it would force him to head out of the trees and you know, the slope was there, so I knew he wasn't going to run up the slope. So if I did need to get another shot, I knew exactly where he'd be going. So, but anyway, when I got back to him, he was done. So, yeah, it was a great buck, my best buck ever. So, yeah, so anyway, guys, that's just a quick recap of my last year hunt. Don't know if there's anything you guys can take away from that. Hopefully there is. I got a few good guests coming up. I got Brian Barney, from Eastman's Elevated, Hunter McWaters, he's got a great podcast, Hunter's Quest, Adam Weatherby, and I got a couple other good shows coming up. So hope you guys like those, and hope you guys like the show. And as always, if you guys write me, DM me on Instagram, focus_hunting, let me know how your hunt's going, what you think of the show. I'll get you out a t-shirt and a sticker. Okay, guys, thanks.
I'm Will Cooper, and you're listening to Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast on the Waypoint Podcast Network. Stick around as I bring you more stories and interviews from veteran hunters and industry professionals who inspire us all to be better equipped in the woods and in life. I'm Will Cooper, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. If you haven't already, download the free Waypoint TV app to listen to our podcast and watch the original films from Hunt Stand Presents anywhere, anytime, and on any device.